Well, hello, it's season 5, and we are super excited that you are here as we dig into one of my favorite subjects. This season, we will be chatting with some amazingly smart and influential people in and around the arts and entertainment industry about something I like to call the inner critic. Who is this mean voice that constantly tries to stop us? And how do we confront it and kick it out of our way? From therapists to deliverance ministers to fashion icons and entrepreneurial geniuses, we are going to talk about that inner voice that wants to stop our creative passions and hinder our ability to shift culture. Head on over to my website, lindseymorgan.co, and use the promo code LOVE for 50% off the Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass. And now, let's get to that conversation with this week's incredible guests about their journey with the inner critic.
Hi, guys. We are so glad you are here. It is back. We are back. We took a little break for a minute. We had to take a little break for a minute. I got to tell you why. It was quite a situation, but We are back. I got into a car accident and then I got COVID. So had a few little issues, but we are back. And I'm so excited to be back with my darling, darling, darling friend, Stephanie Ortiz Goss. She just got married a couple years ago and she is such a delight. She's hilarious and just such a sweet girl. On her Instagram, she is said to be one of God's great prototypes. Steph, I love that. That's so cute. Tell us a little bit more about what that means, because that's pretty cute.
It's a Hunter S. Thompson quote, and I just love it. There was a time when I was obsessed with the movie Fear and Loathing Las Vegas. And so I heard that quote and I just ran with it. Loved it. I felt like it described me, not just so much like one of God's great prototypes, because I'm not like that. My ego's not that big, trust me. It was just more a high-powered mutant, just because I always felt like I think we all feel like we're different from everyone, but yeah. There was always like that side of me that felt like, I don't know, this weird freak accident that the Lord made and just, but he loves that little accident.
And he writes good stories with us little accidents.
Yes.
He loves good stories. And uh-huh. you have so many good stories. And your life story is so amazing. But share with us a little bit about, you know, I love to interview people that have been in and around the entertainment industry, and you were for a long time. And I know now you've taken a little pause and like marriage nesting, but yeah. Tell us about what you did in and around the entertainment industry.
So I started off modeling when I was 13. And so I started off modeling with Click, was my first agency. So I got to like do commercials with Levi's, Dr. Pepper commercials, did like campaigns with like Benetton, Puma. Yes.
I love Benetton. I just remember them. I loved them.
Oh,
I know that about you, Steph. That's so cool.
Yes. And so that was a lot of fun. Like I started off doing that young. And then that sort of catapulted me into from commercial acting to then like being in front of the camera. So from there, I miraculously somehow started TV hosting. And that kind of just came out of nowhere. Like I loved to be in front of the camera. And every time I would be like in a shoot, like I just always felt like I should be in front of the camera. Why not? So I went from doing like just commercial acting to then like TV hosting. And so I got to TV host a lot of like bilingual shows like Stylized, which was on CTV back in the day. I actually started off on a show called The Root on Moonbills, which was like the first like network to play reggaeton music. So that's actually where I started off TV hosting. I was a co-host on there. And from there, then I started working on Stylized for CTV.
Steph, I'm going to stop you. I can't hear you very well. I don't know. Is it your mic?
Can you hear me now?
Not very well. And we need to hear you because you're amazing. I know.
Okay, let me see if maybe it has anything to do with this. Because I somehow, I was like, thought, do I have to click on the Facebook link? Am I, could it be?
Oh,
maybe that might be. Facebook Live is getting in the way. Okay, is that better?
Just maybe talk loudly and we'll be good.
Okay. I'm talking really loud about myself now. Totally normal. Oh my gosh.
So tell me what Stylized is. I'm super interested. Is that, was it like a fashion show? Because that sounds kind of fun.
So it was like, it was a TV show that kind of covered New York fashion. And then we did another season that was in Miami. So it was like Miami fashion, but it had everything to do with style, not just like fashion, but also like, what do people do that's cool? Like what's like going on at some parties? It even like touched on DJing and all kinds of different, like just whatever was cool and stylish. And it's like, we covered it. And, So I did that for a couple years. And then after that, then I, while still doing like little acting stuff here and there, and the TV hosting then catapulted me into like radio, being a radio personality. So then I went from TV hosting to then I was a radio personality for La Calle 105.9 FM, which was like it was a radio station that played like reggaeton music and like just top 40 and Latin music, salsa, merengue, bachata, all of that stuff. So did that. And then from there, I was doing that and TV hosting at the same time. So I was working for a show called American Latino TV.
Okay.
Which was also like another bilingual show. And they kind of just covered like all things Latin going on all over, you know, the US. And that was a lot of fun. And then that was around the time that I kind of got into the acting and was really trying to take my acting a little bit more seriously.
Okay.
I started off in comedy, but then like had a little bit of had a little thing with drama too that I liked. And so, and then that's kind of where I left off with my career in entertainment. Was doing the acting. Then I got into production and got really curious about that. And so then I started producing for several years after that. Yes.
And then is that when you ran smack dab into Jesus?
Yes.
Aww.
Smack dab into Jesus.
Smack dab.
Yes. Like right in the middle of like the height of my party scene life in Los Angeles was when I ran smack dab into Jesus. Yes.
Good at that. He's good at like just coming right in the middle of our party and being like,
yeah. Yes.
I'm actually what you're looking for.
Yes. I'm so glad he did too. Yeah. No. Definitely changed my life.
That's so amazing. And then you went to ministry school, as did I. We went to the same ministry school, which is very healing and all kinds of interesting
changes. Whoa. Oh, very healing. Oh my goodness. I had to get to the bottom of a lot of things in ministry school. Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then you met your dream husband, which is such a cool
story. Oh my goodness. Such a dream. He was everything I wanted and even more. Jesus knows exactly who you need. Like, I mean, like I could not have prayed for a better husband. I am so, so grateful. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So cool. I know.
He's a good
man. It's so good. It's so good.
I call him over here, but I'm pretty much trying to stay low in this room. That's why I'm in the dark. I feel like I'm like hiding.
No, you are perfect. You're just dark where you're at, right?
It is. Like, it is. It's nighttime.
Mm-hmm. Nighttime. Yeah. So you're like, sorry, everyone. Can't help you. Yeah. That's so great. Well, Steph, you know, I've been talking about the inner critic for what I believe is way too long, but the Lord is like, Lynn, let's keep talking about it. I'm like, okay. And I love to talk about it with people like you that honestly, maybe the rest of us that kind of watch people like you you know, having fun, like hosting TV shows and like getting to be in a Levi's commercial, we might look at you and be like, well, she doesn't have an inner critic, or mm-hmm. she doesn't have any like ouchies inside that are telling her she shouldn't do this or she shouldn't do that. But I mean, just knowing your story, like you hear that mean voice too, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was hearing that mean voice just up until recording this video. I was like, no, you can't do it. You look terrible. No one wants to hear anything about you. Hmm. Yeah. He's mean. The inner critic is mean.
He is a mean. He is so bully. I don't know if you experience it, but he's like a bully. Like he's just like,
oh, he's a total bully. And he's so lucky that he's invisible, because I would drop kick him right in the face. I'm not even joking. I would.
Well, I know you would, Sev. I got with you before. No, I'm just kidding. But I love to think of him like that, because then it's mm-hmm. like we don't believe or hold on to what he says, you know, the more that we're like, wait a minute, like, you know, mm-hmm. when you can think of him like a bully, if a bully was treating us mean like that, what would we do? We'd talk back to him mm-hmm. or we'd ignore him, or it just depends on the day, you know, but like, you know, we would definitely tell him to, you know,
shut it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What, as far as like your career goes, what does he tell you? What does the inner critic tell you? Like, I know it's a big question, girl. But
yeah, no, he's, let's see. The inner critic tells me, it's too late. Like your time has passed. Like, you're never going to get back in front of the camera. You are never going to write that story that God's telling you to write. You are, yeah, just like really just trying to shoot me down as much as possible. Like, trying to think. I mean, he really goes at like, just like timing for me. Like it's like, for me, it's like, oh, it's too late for you, or you know, the world's passing you by and you're just never going to be able to make it, or you're never going to be able to do this, or you're never going to be able to make time to do this, or, you know, you can't write because you're not a writer. You know, you've never written anything. What are you going to write? Or no one's going to take you serious. Or, you know, I think recently what he's been telling me is, it's over for you. Like, you are now just going to be a wife and settle down and that's it. And, you know, so just focus on that. And it's like, wait, as if there's no other women who are married who haven't done amazing things in their lives. Like, it's like, what? Like, where is this voice even coming from? Like, what lie am I believing? Like, where does this lie even come from? And that's why I'm so glad that, like, finally I we're able to talk about this and unwrap this even right here. Because
right here live forever.
Right here live. Because I mean, it was a struggle just even getting on here. It was like, no one wants to hear what you have to say. And you don't have it together yet. Or you're still struggling with the inner critic. So nobody wants to, you know, hear what you're struggling with. Or
That sounds like him. Mm-hmm. I know that is so him. I mean, I was telling you earlier, and just to tell the audience too, because I love to just be honest and vulnerable so that people can relate. Like, we all are struggling with this inner critic. He says different things to different people, mm-hmm. obviously, but even me, like today I was like, Lord, I'm kind of done doing this podcast. Like, nobody really cares. Like, no one's listening. It's not helping anyone. You know, I did not want to come on either. And I know enough, and I know you do too, that when we're kind of like feeling that, it probably is something to press into, because there probably is, I mean, it probably is the Lord, you know what I mean? And there's just some resistance against it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, he's really mean. And it's mm-hmm. interesting to hear what he says to different people. I just think it's interesting, you know, because once we can expose, I always say this stuff, but once we can expose it and realize like, oh, wait, that's not me, or that's not a healthy me. You know, that's not a healthy Lindsay thought. Cause right, mm-hmm. we all are on our journey of, you know, becoming whole, and, you know, Jesus died for it, but we're walking it out. Right. Yeah. And so It's like, it's either the enemy, straight up the enemy, or it's like an ouchie inside of me that, like you said, a lie that I've kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Accepted. So these thoughts all sound like our own voice, but they're not all our own thoughts, you know? Mm-hmm. And the enemy just talks about, or the enemy, the Bible talks about the enemy as the father of lies. Well, where do we hear a lie? It's in our head, you know? Yeah. And it's like, until we can kind of expose it as, that's not me, or that's not a healthy thought, mm-hmm. that's not a healthy Lindsay thought, you know, it's like, then, you know, we are gonna, yeah, I mean, it's gonna try to take us, stop us from the things Papa wants us to do, you know?
Yes, yes. And it's like, I think I love what you're doing. Like, I love that, like, you're bringing it to the light, you know, it's like, it just exposing that lie is just amazing. Like, imagine if you can always expose that lie, like, before it even gets that far to, like, convince you that you can't do something, right. You know, whereas if you can expose it and then, like, you know, like, hold it against truth, like, well, okay, so this is what you're saying, but what is the truth? Like, you know, okay, so I'm too old to pursue comedy, but yet, you know, like, there's Lucille Ball, like, you know, like, she, you know, did I Love Lucy in her 40s, like, you know, so it's like, that's a lie. Yep. Like, you're not too old to pursue comedy. You're not too old to pursue acting. You're not, like, time is not passing by. Time is beautiful. And I think God wants us to be present. And I think that, there was a part of me that was like struggling with, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not, like, right now, this time, like, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. And it's like, I don't know. I think the only thing I should be doing is being present with God and, like, listening for God's voice right now. And if right now I'm to be in a quiet place and maybe in a place of silence, then that's okay, because maybe there's some healing that's happening that needs to happen before I can be stepping out on stage. You know, and it's just, yeah.
So, so powerful and so true. I mean, I feel like I've been in, like, a hidden season for a long time, you know, mm-hmm. But I'm so glad, because I had a lot of things that, you know, God, I feel like God always tells me, like, I care about you, Lindsay, more than I care about what you do for me. You know, and I know we hear that on stage and, you know, from, like, pastors and stuff, but I felt like he really, really helped me understand that. And, you know, so it was like, he wanted to, like, love on me and heal me and, you know, just, like, take care of me before he wanted me to go out and, like, do these things for him, you know, even if they are dreams of mine. Like, I believe he puts those dreams in us. And, you know, but he does, he wants to, like, care for us before he just shoves us out there. You know what I mean? Like, go do whatever. And so, but I love what you said about, and I lost my train of thought earlier, but I love what you said about, you know, exposing it. It's like, I always say it's like 95% of the healing. So, like, once we expose the inner critic and we like, oh, we know who that is all of a sudden, it's like the 5% of lining it up with truth is quite simple.
Yeah.
Or what I like to teach in I have, like, a Crushing the Inner Critic, like, little masterclass that I sell. And in that class, basically, I'm teaching people how to hear from God. You know what I mean? How to bring all those ouchies, those feelings, like, all that stuff to God and hear what he has to say about it. So, you know, it's kind of more of the rhema word of what he's saying about, you're too old to pursue comedy. Well, let's ask God, what does God say about that? You know what I mean? And God might've, like, said to you, well, look at Lucille Ball, you know? So God's going to, like, kind of course correct all that. I remember I've said this on podcast before, but he had said, you know, the lie I kept hearing for a gazillion years was like, you're not good enough. And I just kept letting it.
That's a lie.
Just sit there and sit there and sit there till one day, Steph, I go, pretty enough for what? Like, for what or who? Like, what? It was such this, like, kind of generic, like, thing, you know, you're not pretty. And I listened to it for probably a decade, you know, but then I'm like, then I just decided to question the lie. Pretty enough for who?
That's so good.
Like, I mean, it took me 10 years, but yeah, it was good once I got there. So
I love that. I love that. That's good.
Wasn't that funny?
No matter what, like, very quick, Where's this going?
Yeah, like he, you know, like he couldn't keep the lie going.
Yes.
Like his general, like, you know, like lie.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
For what? Like, I'm not trying to go do something. So what are you talking about? You
yes.
know?
It kind Which, of you're kind gorgeous, of- by the way. I took a picture of you, or I took a picture of you earlier on the Zoom because I was like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty with her blue eyes. And like, so I don't think my camera got it, but I did. I took a little, hold on.
She took a secret snapshot.
I took a secret snapshot. Look at how pretty you are. Oh my gosh, look at this.
Oh God, wow.
She's so beautiful.
That's
so pretty. It looks so much better on my phone, but look, it's so good. Can you see it? I don't know. How do we get this?
Like these big teeth. No, she's I need
so to pretty. Myself.
Oh, you're so sweet. I mean, that's been a lie I've not believed for a long time.
I took a little picture and I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta send this to her. So she sees how pretty she is. I'm gonna send it to our little group chat. She's so pretty.
I'm like blushing. I'm like, ah.
Oh, it's funny that like the inner critic would hit you with that, with like, you're not pretty enough. And it's like,
mm-hmm. I just go back and look at old pictures of myself and I think, you know, I'm 44 now. So I go back and look at pictures when I was like 30 and I'm like, kind of makes me mad because I'm like, look, Lindsay, if you don't stop believing that lie now, when you're 55, you're going to go back to when you're 44 and be like, oh, I was pretty, but I didn't eat it, you know? And so it's like, yeah, it's just at some point we just have to be like, I'm just not going to listen to you anymore. You right. know what I mean? Like, you've been telling me this a long time. But I'm just going to choose not to listen. And even if there's moments of feeling too old or moments of not feeling pretty, like, hey, that moment will pass. And I just have to push through it and like, you know, move forward and just try to, you know, Chris Valentin, who was one of our professors or teachers at school.
Professor, I like professor.
What? But you know, he would always say, use the weapon of ignore. And I really like that. You know, like just ignore it. But sometimes we have to confront it and sometimes yeah. we have to take it to Papa. Like it's just different, mm-hmm. you know, different ways.
Depends where it's at. Yeah, there's times where you can just be like, shut up. And other times where you just literally have to be like, okay, I'm gonna take you to the courtroom of heaven and we're gonna see what you're gonna say then. Like.
Exactly.
I'm gonna bring this to God real quick and see what he's got to say.
That's right, girl. That's right. That's what's helped me the most with the inner critic is like taking it to God and just being like, what, you know, I feel like the other lie that the enemy always told me was like, you're such a loser for like ever. I mean, I believed it for so long. And then it's like, yeah. loser, like, what? Like, what am I trying to even win? You know?
I hear that too. I hear that too. Yeah. You are such a loser. And I'm like, oh, what I lose?
I know.
What have I lost? Like, what's the end game? Because I feel pretty happy. Like, I don't feel like a loser. I feel pretty fulfilled in life. I think a lot of times too, like the inner critic can just like piggyback off of things that you've heard from other people or like vibes that you've gotten from other people. And then you sort of like, take that and hold it in your heart and never get healing from it. So then it just like the inner critic just amplifies it. And then it's something that you hear and you start to believe, you know, when really it was just one person's opinion of you, if that, or one person's like misjudge of character, you know, because I definitely have heard criticism from just past relationships, you know, that like I've held like in my heart and, you know, haven't gotten healing for or brought to the light. And yeah, if you don't like face those things and get healing from those things, I feel like it can take root in your heart and, you know, you gotta cut down that tree. You gotta rip out those weeds, you know, you know, that's just because someone says something about you doesn't mean that it's like necessarily true, you know?
No, and I would, oh, go ahead, Steph.
Oh, no, go ahead, then.
Say that I agree with that. Like lately, you know, I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about, Lindsay, you know what? not everybody's going to like you. You know, not everyone's going to agree with you, you know, but that doesn't mean that I don't want you to move forward in it, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, like, and we all know anybody who, you know, writes a book or, you know, does anything on TV or anything, radio or anything, if they've got a big enough crew watching, they're going to have a lot of haters, you know? Yeah. And I remember I was going to ask Bill Johnson at one of our groups. I was going to ask, like, how do we handle criticism? Because that poor man, you know, you look on the internet and he's like, you know, some people think the man's a devil, you know?
Yeah. But,
you know, obviously we know he's such an amazing person.
Oh my gosh, such a warm, like, fatherly, like, he's, yeah. Yeah, it's funny that, like, a lot of people that criticize him usually don't really know him. Like, it's like people from the outside. Every experience I had with him has always been, like, just led me and pointed me to God. So,
yeah.
It's a shame that some people have had just, I don't know, bad. I don't know.
No. True. And like, I remember he was coming to one of our revival groups and I was going to ask him, like, how do you, I was so scared. This was before I wrote my book. I was so scared of criticism. And I was going to ask him, how do you handle your critics, basically? And now we're talking about external critics, not internal critics.
Yeah.
Like you said, sometimes the external critics can kind of take root and then that can really like cause more problems. And I felt like Jesus answered the question before I even asked Bill. And I felt like he said, because he cares more about the people he's helping than the people that hate him.
Ooh, that's awesome.
I thought that was so good. And it really—
That is so cool.
Right? I know. And I just thought it gave me confidence, you know, to put out my book, which was scary. You know, I remember saying to God, I was like, God, I am so scared that people won't like it. And he goes, some people won't. But do it anyway, Linz, you know, and the truth is, Steph, I mean, nobody really like said anything terrible about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't seen enough to like people to like, you know, for me to have critics per se, but the inner critic was what was stopping me. The inner critic is what was stopping me from finishing it.
Which I bought your book and I loved your book. And it's so funny because I bought your book right when I had started dating Brian.
Okay.
And, like, it was so perfect because I was like, oh my gosh, like just the stuff that you wrote in Letting Love In, it was like so spot on. And it was like some of the stuff that I had walked through and I was like, wow, that is so cool that like you wrote that book, you put it all down. Like it helped a lot of people. I'm sure a lot of people who bought that book like got a lot of healing from it or got a lot of clarity, got a lot of like, you know, just, yeah, I think it's funny that like the enemy was like trying to tell you not to write that book.
Or not to finish it. I mean,
not to finish it, yeah.
95% done and I could not finish it.
Oh my gosh.
Because like, you're scared. He told me sweet about it. He's like, because you're scared. And I'm like, what am I scared of? And he said, you're scared that people won't like it. And then I was like, you're right, that is what I'm scared of. And God said, some people won't. But write it anyway, you know?
Yes.
And I remember you being so encouraging, Steph, because you had written something and I've saved it and I go back to it a lot, but you wrote a little blurb about it and you were like, and I just remember you saying like, you know, yeah, that mean voice that tells you you're not pretty enough or not good enough. And I thought, Stephanie Ortiz is one of the most beautiful girls I know. Like, how could the enemy tell her that? You know what I mean? What? Like it kind of made me realize he's such a liar because I was like, wait a minute, she's definitely one of the prettiest girls I know. How could the enemy tell her that? I was just so shocked by that. So
crazy.
Encouraging to hear, you know,
yeah,
many of that too, that like the enemy doesn't like us.
Oh yeah, especially like coming from like the modeling industry, it's like, oh, the enemy would attack me all the time with like, you're not pretty enough, or like, you know, like you'd show up at like a, you know, at an audition and it's like, there's girls there and they look different than you. And you're just like, oh my gosh, that's the kind of girl that they want, not me. You know, it's just, yeah, oh my gosh. One time it's so funny. I went in for this AT&T commercial one time and I got the past like the first audition, and then it was like finally like the last audition, like it's like the callback, you know. And I remember I went in and I did fine, but somehow like the inner critic got in there and was just like, no, you weren't pretty enough, like you just like they're gonna go with somebody else, you know, it's like your hair was like a mess, like just like trying to like pick apart like any little thing like possible. And so then I literally like had a breakdown like after I left the audition. So like I finished the audition, I was like, thank you, and then like, you know, left. And then as soon as like I turned the corner and got in my car, I was like, oh, all I want to do is be an actress. That's so hard. Oh, they hate me. They hate me. Like, just totally like just broke down crying. Like, they hated me. And it's so funny because it's like they probably didn't think 2 seconds about me. Like, they just, thank you, next, you know? And then, so I had my little breakdown. And then I get a call from my agent that I got the job, that I booked the AT&T job. But it was so crazy because like I had like the inner critic just going at me so much that I literally believed that I like totally like just bombed the audition and was not gonna get it. And like they hate, and for some reason it got in my head that they hated me. Like, why on earth would they hate me?
Why would they even spend enough time to even like, right. They don't know you. They don't even know you. Right.
They were in the room with me for 2 minutes. I said my lines and that was it. And I left. But in my head, they hate me. I'm like, what?
It's so. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And yeah. And I ended up like getting the audition. I booked the job and everything. And I was just like, wow. Okay.
I know. It's almost like. Sometimes I always say he doesn't let up when bad things happen either. You know what I mean? Like he'll kick you when you're down. You know what I mean? Yeah. He'll like tell you something and then he'll blame it on you and shame you for it when it came from him in the first place. You know, like he's mm-hmm. just, he's not nice. He's not nice. Mm-hmm. I think it's sometimes so annoying to talk about. I'm like, why am I still talking about this? But I think it holds a lot of people back. It holds a lot of people back from stepping in to beautiful things. You know, to stepping into like, you know, callings they have, or even marriage, you know, I'm not married, and a lot of it's fear and stuff. So, I mean, you know, that's the inner critic. And like, I just think that it's important to talk about so that we can recognize it more and more and more. And it'll be a little bit of a process, I think, for us to recognize it, and then learn the tactics and tools on how to get it out of your way. Mm-hmm. You can move forward even when it's kind of still like beaking back here, you know what I mean? You can just keep moving forward and be like, not gonna listen to you. So
I had to bring the inner critic to the light, even in my relationship. I had to like shut that voice up. And I actually didn't even mean to shut that voice up. It was like the inner critic pushed me so far that I actually ended up exposing the inner critic, like just, because that was the only thing left to do. It was right when Brian and I first started dating. It was, I believe it were like 2 weeks in, and everything was amazing. Like, I knew this man was gonna be my husband since like day one. Like, I just knew. Like, I was like, yep, this is it. This is the guy. Like, I just know it's him. And so everything was amazing. And the first 2 weeks, it was like out of a romance novel or out of like, like rom-com movie. It was too perfect,
right?
And he was too perfect. And so finally I was like, okay, this is too good. I'm gonna have to, because my inner critic was like, he's too good for you, like, you know, this, like, wait till he finds out your history, wait till he finds out like who you really are, and blah 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 blah, all this stuff, whatever, like wait till he finds out your past. And then finally it just got so bad where I was just like, you know what, you're right, he's too good for me. And before things go further, and before I fall even deeper in love with this man, I'm just gonna go ahead and tell him everything. And I did. So within, like in that first 2 weeks, I sat him down and I told him everything. I told him all my dirt, all of it, said my whole history, like literally just like, no, it took a long time. Anyways, so I'm like breaking down in tears, like thinking like, oh, that's it. He doesn't want anything to do with me. It's over. We're done. He's breaking up with me. And so I'm just like crying, and he just like takes me in his arms, and he's like, why are you crying? He's like, I love you even more. And he's like, I love your story and I love your past. And this makes me love you even more because you still choose me. And it was just, yeah, that's a whole other story for another podcast. But yeah, the inner critic shot himself in the foot. And
he overplayed his hand.
Yes.
So good. That is cool. And that is obviously, as you and I both know, the good news is like, the enemy doesn't win. I mean, he sometimes wins a couple battles in my life, but he does not win the war. He does not.
It actually strengthened our relationship because it was like, oh, there's nothing hidden.
Yeah.
And it made us, it actually like grew the intimacy between us because it was like, oh, this man knows me like more than anyone has ever known me. This man knows me. Like, and yeah, it's like, if we can bring that inner critic to the light and like share that voice with other people, like, it's like, oh, then the inner critic has no power over you. Like, it's no longer in the dark, festering like deep within your soul. It's like out in the light. And it's like, after that, it becomes cheap.
Yeah.
It's like, cheap everyone shots. Else, yeah, cheap shots. It's like everyone else has heard that lie. Everyone else has heard that. Oh, everyone else has struggled with that. Oh, it's not even a big deal anymore. It's just what the inner critic does, you know? Yeah.
That's so true. It reminds me, that would be a good rom-com someday also, just FYI. If you ever want to do that, I like that story. Because I know a little bit more of the story, but it reminds me of a dark thing that I believed about myself years and years and years and years ago. And I was so scared. The lie I would believe was, if you tell someone this, it'll be true. Because it was a lie about something I believed about myself. And I ended up telling my one of my dearest best friends, like new church friends, because we were like, you know, met the Lord later in life. So it was like my new church friend, her name was Lori.
Yeah.
And I remember telling her, and I thought she was going to have this like extreme reaction to it, like, oh my God, you know, and she was just like, yeah, that's dumb. I mean, her reaction was so like, yeah, that's dumb. And I was like, being so shocked, you know, because I was like, okay, you know, just that was, like, that's a dumb lie, even though it like tried to take me out for years. Like, she just like, yeah, that's ridiculous. That's dumb. And I was like, it is? Okay, good. So you're right. It depends like what the lie is and who do we share it with, right?
Yeah.
If you share it with the wrong person, it could go a different way.
It can go south. Yeah. You share it with the wrong person and they'll shame you for it. And it'll just like, yeah, spiral into even worse, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like the
or
same.
Or hide it even more.
Right. Or they say, they kind of agree with it. And then you're really in a weird place. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that's why I'm a big fan of like sharing with God and like learning to hear his voice, because he's the safest person, right? And then like, of course, we have our people, our safe people, which is important. And
Yes. I had to learn that throughout the years, that it's like, oh, okay. It's like, yes, we're all a family, like as a Christian, like you know, that we're a church family, but then there's like people that like are like your family that are like in your circle, your tight circle, that's like maybe just like, you know, 3 or 4 people, you know, and that's your safe space. Like, I'm so glad we have our little safe space there.
Our little cohort, yeah.
Our little, yes. And, you know, but yeah, you have to have that. You have to have like that sisterhood or that brotherhood of people that like you can truly trust, who, you know, you can share those things with, and, you know, that will be honest with you. Like, maybe sometimes it is the inner critic, or maybe there are some things that you do have to like weigh out and be like, okay, is this something that like I'm actually struggling with or actually need to, you know, walk out, or, you know,
yeah. No, I had to learn that too. I used to be like, I'll just tell everyone. And then I was like, or not. All do share and not good people.
I'm an oversharer, so I had to learn the hard way. I'm like, I tell like the first person I meet, I'll be riding the bus and like just like share just random information with people, like share my whole life story with like strangers. Like I've been that way my whole life. And so I had to learn that there's some things you just got to kind of to yourself, another thing
in your heart, like Mary, right? We bond her. I'm the same way though. I just used to be like, everyone's safe, and then I had to realize some outages, like, just kidding, okay,
it's
healthy to share. But God is the same to me. God is the safest, and so I found such safety in sharing with him, just vulnerable feelings, like all the stuff I've shared, all the stuff with him, and then I didn't feel such a need to like share with all the people, you know, and then he would kind of lead me to the safe people. And so he's good like that. He's good like that. Oh, Steph, you're so precious. I always adore you, and I'm excited for your future. I know you have such good things ahead. And so I'm always going to be cheering you on, girl. I would love for you to pray for our listeners today. Just where you're such a beautiful woman of God, and I'd love for you to just
pray
for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Lord, I thank you so much for what Lindsay is doing. I thank you for speaking through her and having this podcast to be able to expose the inner critic. I thank you for everyone who is watching right now. I thank you that God, that you're just exposing whatever it is that is speaking to them right now that is not of you. We just cancel that out now. We silence the voice of the enemy, and we just ask that you would just cover them with your truth. God, we just ask that you would just continue to speak to them what it is that you want them to be doing, and we ask that you would just let your voice speak louder in their hearts, that whatever it is that you've placed in their hearts, whatever that dream is that you've placed in their heart, God, that would be louder than anything that the enemy would try to say to them. I bless everyone watching. I pray that if anyone has ever told you something, any lie that has tried to linger in your heart, I just pray healing over that now. I ask that you would bring that to the forefront, God, and that you would just show them how much you love them and how much your truth trumps over that lie. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Steph. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Coming in from the nighttime.
Yes.
So precious. This was so fun. Thanks for being vulnerable and sharing with us. I know it helped a lot of people when they just get to hear that we all struggle. You know, it helps recognize their own ouchies and their own inner critics. So I'm so grateful for you always.
Thank you.
Guys, we will see you next week with another incredible guest on the Lindsay Morgan Snyder podcast. Bye.
It's so fun.
Well, 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 wasn't that interesting? We can't wait until next week. Don't forget to grab Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass at lindsaymorgan.co and use the promo code LOVE to get 50% off. This was recorded at New Vine Music in Santa Monica, California. We would like to thank Leonardo Antinori for producing this track. To learn more about them or to license original music for your next project, go to newvinemusic.com.